Do you know that you are valuable to God? His love, his goodness, and his kindness are chasing you down daily. Join my pastor, Gregory Dickow, as he ministers on this topic at Creflo and Taffy Dollar's Grace Life Conference at World Changers Church in Atlanta. Today really is your day to find out who you are in Christ.
Everything works on the axis of the goodness of God, the nature of God, that God is love. You know, if we really get a hold of that, that God is love. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, if you look real quick in Jeremiah 31, I have never quit loving you, and I never will. Expect love, love, and more love. Boy, we could just live right there for a while. Expect love, love, and more love. You know, when you expect something bad to happen, you kind of brace yourself. If you think God might, you know, hit you with a curse or hit you with some wrath or hit you with some judgment or just let life happen to you because, you know, he wants to teach you a lesson, then you're always bracing yourself. It's like a kid that's been abused. It's like a child that's been abused as they grow up. They're constantly in that mode of protection and in that mode of they're ready. They're just kind of braced for the hit, the impact. Somebody's going to hit them. Somebody's going to mistreat them. Somebody's going to hurt them. But when you know that this is God's nature and this is God's character, then you can really wake up every day expecting love, love, and more love. Because as far as God's concerned, he's never quit loving you and he never will. You get a hold of that, man, and peace will flow like a river, and it'll really put you in a position to live with expectation of good all the time. It really will affect your emotions, too. I don't have time to get into this today, but David said in Psalm 27, verse 13, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. My emotions would be completely down in the negative. I would have despaired, been depressed, fainted, quit. All the negative words associated with this word comes from your expectation. Unless I believed, he said, unless I believed, I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. It's not when we get to heaven, it's in the land of the living. While we're here on this earth, of course, you know, in heaven is just a whole nother level, but here on this earth, we can see the goodness of God. We can expect to see the goodness of God. And that's really what sets our emotions in the right direction, is what your expectations are based on your view of God. If you think God is, like we talked about the other day, schizophrenic, sometimes he loves you, sometimes he doesn't, sometimes he's good towards you, sometimes he's not, then that shapes your expectations towards uncertainty. And there's nothing really worse than uncertainty. You know, I'd rather have certainty about something bad than uncertainty about something that might be good or might not be. The good news is we can have certainty that God is good all the time, and you can expect to see it today, tomorrow, every day. His goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. They follow you. They don't stop. Like, God's goodness and mercy don't stop at the door if you go into the wrong door. If you go into the wrong door, God's mercy and goodness are not like, ooh, we can't go in there, we're too holy. God's goodness and mercy is going to go right in there with you. I'm not saying to go there. I'm just saying if you end up there, you end up through the wrong door, you end up on the wrong path, God's goodness and mercy aren't like abandoning you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. His goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, not just the good days, not just the days you're good, not just the days you're faithful, not just the days that you're on it, not just the days you pray, not just the days you look good, not just the days your hair's right. Come on. God's goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. The good, the bad, and the often ugly. Nobody here, but for your neighbor. All right. So Revelation 3:20. Let's look there. Revelation 3:20. And I'm going to continue to talk about Jesus' invitation, sit with me, sit with me, sit with me. I want this to really sink into your ears and sink into your heart. Sit with me. Jesus' invitation is to sit with him. It's the invitation of grace. The invitation of grace Grace invites us to sit. Grace invites us to sit. Grace doesn't invite us to struggle. Grace doesn't invite us to fight. Grace doesn't invite us to strive. The grace of God invites us to sit. And to sit, we learned yesterday, to sit means to accomplish. It is accomplished. It is finished. We'll talk about that. But in Revelation chapter 3, and you know all too well, as I do, this great verse where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. I will dine with him." Now this is like, think about this. Going to dinner with Jesus, not only going to dinner with him, but he's standing at the door. This is how beautiful a Savior we have. He's standing at the door, he's knocking. He's not kicking it in, "I'm coming in whether you like it or not." That's how we are sometimes. But he's a gentleman. He's standing at the door and knocking. When you get a hold of what it means to sit with Jesus, he delivers you from all your fears. When you realize where you're seated, when you realize you have the best seat in the house, you're delivered from fear. It delivers you from inferiority. It delivers you from your insecurities. And it will deliver you from comparing yourself to other people. And it'll deliver you from having to measure up. And it'll deliver you from when people leave you out and people don't accept you, or they don't pick you for some reason, they don't like you for some reason. You know what? It really, you got to get to the point where you just don't care. Don't care what people think about you, not in a rude way, because we walk in kindness, we walk in love, we walk in forgiveness, but we don't walk in the fear of what people think. And when you're seated with Jesus, which you are, but when you have an awareness of it, then you no longer what people say no longer weighs so much. You know, the word honor, honoring God, the word honor actually comes from a word which means a heavy weight, to weigh heavily. So when you honor God, it literally means that his words carry more weight in your life. It's like a scale, you know, those old scales that go like this, is that if you have God's word here and you've got people's opinions here, then to honor God means that his words tip the scale completely, and you value what he says over what anybody else says. Where most people live is kind of like this. It's constantly going like this. Well, people say this about me, but God said this about me, and we're constantly in this battle. We have to be completely like this, where it really is irrelevant what people say about me, or what people think about me, or what people write about me, or what people's opinion of me is, because this is what God thinks about me. I have always loved you. I'm never going to stop loving you. Expect love more and more and more and more and more. Amen. So Jesus' invitation is to sit with him, and really this is the cure. The seat where you've been given is the cure to emotional dysfunction. It's the cure to what you grew up with, the hang-ups that you grew up with, because I grew up with a ton of hang-ups. I grew up with I just told you a few of them, but that doesn't even scratch the surface of my addictions, my fears, my anxieties, my panic, all my crap. And I tell you this, is that if you want to have your dysfunctions, rather than you having to cover them up all the time or try to cope with them or try to just embrace them as your personality, what you need to do is you need to recognize where you're seated, because it is the cure. The equality with Jesus is the cure to all of your sense of inferiority, all of your fears, all the rejection that you've ever endured, all the self-hatred you've ever had for yourself, all the comparison trap that you've ever fallen into. This is the cure, is that you're seated with Christ. You're not just seated with, you're not seated in barely, you know, barely make it into heaven. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I want to get into more of that, how it affects our emotions tomorrow perhaps. But where I want to go with this is yesterday we talked about how being seated really means it's accomplished, it's finished. And we talked about the cross and what it means that it's finished, the three things that it means when Jesus says, it is finished. And we know that it means the debt is paid. We know that it means in a criminal court, the sentence is served. And we know that from a military term, it means the battle has been won. And therefore, we can sit, we can rest, we can have peace. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to struggle for God's approval. We don't have to struggle for God's love. We don't have to struggle for even to believe God for something. Doesn't need to be a struggle. The only struggle is the reasons in your mind that you're not believing. Like what are the mindsets that are in your head that are preventing you from believing God's promises? What is preventing you? Because the only thing that prevents most people from believing God's promises are the limitations they put on themselves, like God needs me to check off a certain group of boxes so that I can then be worthy of the promise. And really, there is nothing you can ever do to be worthy of God's promise. God's not watching over your behavior to see if he'll produce or if he'll fulfill his promise. The Bible says he's watching over his word. And he says to perform it. He's not watching your performance, he's watching his word, and he will perform it. And so when we speak God's word, when we believe God's word, when we speak God's word, that's all God needs to work with. We just give him something to work with. We gotta activate this stuff. We gotta give, Jesus did it all, but we gotta give him something to work with. You know, when the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the word of God is like a two-edged sword, it's a double-edged sword. It's literally translated as twice spoken. It's twice spoken. The word of God is twice spoken. That's what the scripture says. So the word of God is literally sharper than a two-edged sword, twice spoken, two-edged, two times, spoken twice. It doesn't mean we have to keep saying God's word to get it to work. What it means is that it's twice spoken, once by God to make it living. The Bible says the word of God is living and active. So when it's spoken by God, that makes it living. When it's spoken by us, that makes it active. It is living and active. It's twice spoken, once by God and then once by us. What we're doing is when we speak God's word, we're simply coming into agreement with what God has already said. When we're not making it happen, we're not giving God an idea to bring something to pass. It was his idea. We're simply agreeing with it. When you said Jesus is Lord, when you confessed Jesus is Lord, believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you were saved. But you didn't make Jesus Lord. God made him Lord. The Father made him Lord in Christ. He already was Lord. You simply participated in the benefits of him being Lord when you came into agreement with what God had already done. So that's where grace and faith work together. God does it, and then we activate it by coming into agreement with him, which is what it really means. As soon as you are in agreement with God, you're in the spirit. When you're out of agreement with God, you're in the flesh. When you're in agreement with what God says, you're in the spirit. You're automatically in the spirit, which, by the way, is where all the blessings are. All the blessings of God are in the spirit realm. The Bible says all his blessings are spiritual. It doesn't mean that they're in heaven when we get there. That means they're in a spiritual realm. They're in the spirit. And when you're in the spirit, you have access to all those blessings. And being in the spirit simply means coming into agreement with Christ, coming into agreement with the cross, coming into agreement with grace, coming into agreement with what Jesus already did, coming into agreement with it is finished. That's walking in the spirit. And that's when you're going to walk in the blessing. You don't have to strive for that. You don't have to struggle for that. You just got to agree. That's what holiness is to me. Holiness is to agree with God. As soon as I agree with God, now my mind is in alignment with my spirit. It's already in alignment with God. Now my mind comes into alignment with God, and guess what? My life, my behavior, my body begins to come into alignment to, because you got spirit and soul in agreement with God. You got the three-strand cord right there. You got the spirit, soul, and you got the Holy Spirit. all in agreement, your body's got no choice now, man. Your body is going to submit. Your money is going to submit. Your life is going to submit. Every area, your emotions are going to submit. Your relationships are going to, everything's going to submit from the power of this holy agreement between your soul and your spirit. Your spirit's already in agreement with God. That's why we renew our mind, to get our soul in alignment with our spirit, which is already in complete agreement with Jesus. Amen? All right, so let's keep going here. Romans 10:17, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Now, the King James Version is the only version, and a few others that are mostly not understood, or mostly nobody reads, where it uses the word of God here. The actual word is the word of Christ. It's the word of Christ. We cannot get this wrong here today. Today, we're going out of here understanding what the word of Christ is and where faith comes from. Faith doesn't come just because you've quoted a bunch of scriptures or you know a bunch of Bible verses. This is specifically talking faith grows from, faith emerges from, faith is born from the word of Christ, from the word of what Jesus has done for you. My God, if you can get a hold of this, that's why Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This word of the cross, this word of Christ, this word of the gospel, this word of the gospel of God's grace, this word is what brings peace. This word is what brings faith and causes faith to arise. As soon as I put my faith in the finished work of Jesus, that's when healing flows. As soon as I put my faith in the finished work of Jesus, that's when salvation flows. As soon as I put my faith in the finished work of Jesus, prosperity flows. As soon as I put my faith in the finished work of Jesus, in Christ. In Christ. Every other translation. In fact, the Greek translation makes it most clear where it says, Rhematos Christo, the word of Christ, the revelation of the grace that comes through the cross. That's what produces faith. That's where faith comes from. And when it comes from just, well, Jesus said, remember John 5:39, you study the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and yet they testify of me. So all the scripture is points to Jesus, so that all of our faith is in him. I think sometimes we just start factoring in all of our mistakes, our lack of prayer, we didn't read enough, we didn't do enough. Hey, Galatians 3:5 says, he that works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? And again, in the context, it's not just hearing a bunch of scriptures. Look, please don't take this wrong. I'm not saying that scripture, all scripture is profitable. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness, that we may be equipped for every good work. I'm not disputing that. But the faith that you need in your life, in your everyday life, the faith that you need to have miracles happen, the faith that you need to have your family restored, the faith that you need to have healing flow, the faith that you need to walk in the will of God, in the purpose of God, the faith that you need emerges and comes, springs forth from the word of Christ, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified, and therefore it is finished, and all grace and all things are available to you in him, and that's what causes miracles to be worked among us. He works miracles among us, not by the works of the law, not by any works, but by hearing with faith. And where does faith come from? It comes from the word of Christ, the word about Jesus, the word about what he did for us. I don't think we get this all the way sometimes. I don't want to just say it once and have it just go through. And you got to get a hold of this. We get in a situation, and we're like, okay, I got to quote, I need some healing, so I got to get all the healing scriptures. and the healing scriptures are awesome, and you should quote the healing scriptures because they're beautiful verses and they're powerful promises and they're something you can always stand on. But the access to that promise, what activates that promise, is not just you mouthing it and just you reading it. What activates it is that your faith is in one thing, not even you saying it. Your faith is in that it is done because of the cross. And I can't tell you how many people, they miss out on their healing, or it goes back to the way it was, or they miss out on something God has for them simply because they think what qualifies them to receive is that they make sure that they have crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's, checked the boxes. And there's one box to check, folks, or there's one really T to cross, and it is the cross, and it is Him and Him alone. And I am concerned that because I came out of legalism and I know what it's like to be in bondage and just live your life crossing every T and dotting all your I's and not living in joy and not living in peace and not really walking in healing miracles because we're thinking that we have to qualify or someone has to qualify. And yet every person that Jesus healed, every one of them were sinners. This is grace. The struggle is over immediately. I want you to stop thinking the struggle will soon be over. It's over. It's over. He's in the boat. He's with you. It's over. You've arrived. You've arrived. You've arrived. You've arrived. And our whole study this whole week and all our lives now, this whole study is, what does it mean that we've arrived? Not how do we arrive? It's we've arrived. Now let's discover in the scriptures, what does that look like? What does that look like? Mirror, mirror in the book, tell me how I really look. That's your struggle is over. Yeah. You've arrived. Yeah. Amen. Well, today I continued on part two of Sit With Me. It's an invitation from Jesus. Sit with me. He wants you to sit with Him. He wants you to be close to Him. Well, He's made us close to Him. He's seated us with Him in heavenly places. But when we understand what God is really like, it really makes our faith work. And what is God like? God is love. You know, in Jeremiah 31, remember God said, I've never quit loving you and never will. Expect love, love, and more love. It's the love of God that changes us. It leads us to repentance. It allows us to live with an expectation of good all the time. Something good is going to come your way. God's love, His goodness, His mercy, they never end. He'll never leave you, not on your bad days, not on the days you blow it. His grace invites us to sit with Him, not to struggle, not to wrestle with God, but to sit with Him, right with Jesus. And it's then when we realize we're seated with Him, we don't have to compare ourselves to anybody. We let those old scales go, the ones we were weighing, the opinions of others, and how whether they value us or whether they think of us. You are valuable to God, so valuable that He sent His Son Jesus, obviously, to die on the cross. Now we're seated with Jesus. We're delivered from inferiority, from emotional dysfunction, and whatever you're living with. The struggle is over. You just need to know that you're seated with Him. And listen, if you're joining me today and you haven't experienced the love of God yet in your life, I want to pray with you. And I've got something for everybody right after we pray. But with those of you that are already saved, would you join me in praying for those that are watching right now that have never accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord? And you guys that are accepting Jesus today, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, pray right now with me. Just say this, Heavenly Father, I invite Jesus Christ, just say that, into my life as my Savior and Lord. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. From this moment forward, I'm a child of God. Amen. That's all there is to it. Welcome home. Welcome to the family of God. I'm so thankful. Please email me at the address on your screen and I'll send you my free book called The Power of a New Life to take you through the next steps of a victorious walk with God. And listen, for everybody watching, before I finish today, I want you to know that I'm on a mission to see 30 million souls saved and lives transformed.
and I need your help on that mission. And we're raising $50,000 so we can reach 30,000 people in Haiti by sending at least 2,000 of these solar-powered audio Bibles. Perhaps you've seen them. I've been showing you them. My announcer is going to show you more, because each one of the people will then, they'll share it with 7 or 8 people each. It's just amazing what happens when people get a hold of it. The whole Bible is on this. It's solar powered. It never runs out. And with your gift of $250 or more, I've got some really special gifts I'm going to send you. And I got some gifts for anybody that gives. And my announcer will tell you more. Check it out, and I'll be right back.
With your gift of $25 or more to help provide solar-powered audio Bibles to reach 15 people, we will send you his brand new series, Sit With Me, which includes today's teaching in its entirety. Ask for offer 908A. With your gift of $50 or more to help provide solar-powered audio Bibles to reach 75 people, we will also include Gregory Dickow's Unafraid, Freedom from Fear and Worry. Ask for offer 908B. With an extraordinary gift of $250 or more to help provide solar-powered audio Bibles to 120 people, we want to send you your very own solar-powered audio Bible as a reminder of your support of helping us reach 30 million people over the next 5 years. Plus, if you call today, Gregory Dickow will include his teaching, Your Struggle Is Over, How to Find True Rest. Ask for offer 908C. Please don't wait. Gregory Dickow needs to hear from you today. Live operators are standing by to take your call, or you can go online right now to gregorydickow.tv.
Well, I want to really encourage you and even inspire you to do something in the next few moments that will matter for eternity. You see, our Christianity is expressed as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people around the world, and particularly our focus is the nation of Haiti. That's why I need your urgent help today. Your gift makes it possible for me to get these powerful audio Bibles into the hands of our Haiti friends, people that are blind, people that can't read, people that don't have the Bible in their own language. By getting this into their hands, they can hear the whole Bible, the whole plan of salvation, and our top teachings that I know will change their lives. Now, please do something. Connect with me and help me get the gospel out. And don't forget to connect with me on Facebook or Instagram. I'm there, and I'll do my very best to personally respond to each and every one of you that reaches out. And don't miss our next broadcast. Remember to set your DVR so you never have to miss one of them. I can't wait to see you then. God bless.